Today we're continuing our series on the supernatural. And we're going to be looking today at the supernatural power of God and being able to see that even when we're wearing glasses that are cracked. How many of you ever had cracked glasses? You ever bought? I buy the cheap sunglasses because I'm the guy that breaks them all the time. Matter of fact, last night I buy the little $1 glasses for reading, and last night I walked in the room. It was a little dark, and I hear this crunch under my feet, and once again, I put my glasses on the floor. I ought to learn that by now, right? But no, so they're all cracked and they're ruined. And you try to look through broken glasses, that everything's cracked. The good and the bad, right? It's all cracked. But what about when your life is that way? What about when life is like just in shambles? Is it fair? Is it right? Is it easy? You know, what I find is all of us go through life with good and bad. In this world, we will have great troubles. But take heart, He has overcome the world. We're going to look at that today. And my hope is today that you'll find encouragement, that God will even take the difficulties and the pain of your life, and He will use that to help others. Last night, I had the privilege of going over to join our sister church, Life Church, for worship. I had a text from Jennifer Davis, Bobby's wife, just saying, hey, Bobby's going to be coming back and sharing what God's doing. And so I went over there just to support and encourage them. And as I did, you know, Bobby just shared that he'd been through a dark time, that times had gotten tough and that his back had been giving him trouble. They started on some painkillers, and over time he got dependent upon them. And praise God, he had people around him that loved him enough that saw that and encouraged him to go get help, and he did. And so last night he just shared that with his people and apologized for where he'd been and excited about what God's going to do. And let me just say to you today, we've all been there in some area, right? There's some area in our life that we've been defeated in, and what the devil wants to do is he wants to isolate us. He wants to pretend like it didn't happen. He wants to get us to where we are hiding it in a corner, and then it will defeat us. But what Jesus wants to do, He wants to expose it to the light. He wants to expose it to truth. He wants to provide us an opportunity of hope and forgiveness and grace and mercy. And He wants to do a work in us that not only just stays with us, but then it gets expanded to everybody around us. It gets contagious. Anybody have kids? Anybody got kids? Got a couple of you got kids? Now, how many times do we tell them to share and they just ignore us, right? But the one minute they get the flu, they want to share with everybody. You know, we joke about that. When my kids come home with strep or something, I'm like, you don't have to share this, okay? Oh, but Dad, I feel better. It was 4 hours since you threw up. You will stay at home. But that's when they want to go out, right? Well, let me just say to you, we go through things, highs and lows in this world. But it is our King of kings and Lord of lords that offers us victory. That we can find even in the highs, even in the lows, that He is there with us. If you would, turn with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 is where we're going to start. Page 969 of the Burgundy Bible. Page 969. If you don't have your own Bible, we put these Burgundy Bibles in your seats for you. So you can open them up and follow along with us. Just a way for us to I'll be able to read the same translation if you like. But I encourage you to bring your own Bible, and you can jot notes and help you remember things from the past. Now, in this passage, we're hearing from a guy named Paul. And Paul's writing this letter of encouragement to people who live in a town called Corinth. And he's trying to encourage them through a difficult time. And he's trying to encourage them because sometimes life's just hard. And what Paul's going to be telling them is, listen, I've had the mountaintops and I've been in the valleys. And let me tell you, God is both places. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Paul says this, "This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. Whether I was in my body or not, out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body, but I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding they cannot be expressed in words, things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they see in my life or hear in my message, even though I've received such wonderful revelations from God. So, to keep me from becoming proud, I've been given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I just humble myself this morning. Lord, some in this room today feel like they are just being tormented by a thorn, Lord, in their flesh. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's relational. Lord, others, man, they're on the mountaintop. This has been the best weekend they've had in months and years. But yet at the same time, they may be concerned that the valley's around the corner. I just pray today, Father, that you would so speak through this message, through Jeff, through myself, through the Word of God, that we would walk out of here going, you know what? Mountaintop or valley really doesn't matter. Our God is with us in the journey. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. In everybody's listening guide, there's a little follow along in your program there. You just pull that out. In that program, there's a listening guide. And as we look at the listening guide, the first thing on there is that we will all experience mountaintops and valleys. It's a part of all of it for you and I. Now, Paul said he got to go to the third heaven. I didn't even know there were levels of heaven until I read this passage years ago. I don't even know what that means. First, second, third. I saw the show Seventh Heaven one time, so I got a little bit of understanding of what Hollywood thinks it might be, right? I have no clue. But he didn't even know if it was like actually happening to him or if it was just a vision. Now, I've never had a vision from God, but I have a lot of friends that have. To where, like, the Lord shows them something, either in the future or shows them something supernaturally that's going to happen and how that affects them. And I would just say to you, I believe God can do that anytime he wants. I believe that God may give you a vision, maybe a dream. I believe that God still uses those things today. Sometimes it's an impression upon the heart. Sometimes it's a nudge to do the right thing, to encourage somebody or to pray or to share your hope. But I know this. I know God still works in supernatural ways. In this passage, Paul said he got to go up to the third heaven. Now, again, I think that'd be pretty awesome. But for whatever reason, the Lord hadn't shown that to me. Maybe he hadn't shown it to you, or maybe he has. But Paul then shares, not only did I have that I could boast in, but also let me boast in my weaknesses. Let me tell you what also has happened to me. That I was given a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that is. This is the only time we see Paul mention it. Some people have said, you know, it could have been a physical pain. Today would probably be associated with maybe an IRS audit. You know, I don't know. Just something that just comes in and totally attacks your whole life, right? Maybe a divorce. Maybe a broken relationship with a friend. We don't know what it might have been that Paul would have gone through. But I would say to you today, perhaps you have gone through a time where you've had a thorn in the flesh. And you wonder, can you make it? Can you make it forward? And I just want you to know that everybody experiences mountaintops and valleys. They're both there for all of us. Now, second thing is a question that I think we've all got to answer. How do we reconcile a supernatural God and pain in the world? How do we recognize reconcile a supernatural God and pain in the world? I heard from an atheist friend of mine. He said, Steve, he said, God either has to be all-powerful or all-loving. He said, according to the way I understand it, he can't be both. Because if he's all-powerful, then he can make it where there's no pain in the world, and he doesn't. So therefore, he must not be all-loving. He said, or he's all-loving, but he doesn't have the power to protect people, therefore he's not all powerful. I had to think about that for a while. Why would an all-powerful God and all-loving God allow there to be so much pain in the world? I think to find the answer to that, you got to go back to Genesis 1 in the creation. When God created a world that was all-loving, all-perfect, but He loved us so much that He gave us what's called free will. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I got free will. Here's what free will means. Free will means I have a choice to love somebody or not love somebody. And God gave us a free will whether we would love Him or reject Him. And I'm grateful myself that He gave me that free will. The equivalent would be like God creating us to be parents, and those that have been parents. Could you imagine parents taking your kids and saying, you know what, I want to protect them from the dangers of the world. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a big house, and I'm never going to let my kids leave. Right? I'm going to make some really high padlocks on the doors, and I'll just tell my kids, listen, you're going to stay in this house all your life, and you're going to love me, and I'm going to protect you from the evil in the world. I'm going to always feed you and clothe you. You'll never want for anything, but you can't ever leave the house. Now, how many of you do that with your kids? Nobody? But don't you love your kids? Why wouldn't you keep them from the garbage that's out there? Why wouldn't you just get those deadbolts and keep them in the house? Because you want them to have free will, right? You want them to grow up to be men and women who make decisions for themselves. God gave us the same opportunity. Guess what, though? Adam and Eve messed it up, right? I mean, God even skewed it, you know, in their favor. It's like the whole garden is full of these awesome trees, and there's only one that they were supposed to not mess with. It would be like saying, hey, listen, you guys, we are giving you all these stores in Putnam County. And you can shop anywhere you want, and it's free. But there's one Quick Mart out towards Bingham that you can't go to. It's on a side road. It's down in a valley. It's kind of behind some trees. But don't go to that one. Anything else in Putnam County is free. You already wondered where it's at in Bingham? Anybody? Yeah? You're already thinking, well, maybe. I wonder what's so good about that one that Steve doesn't want me to go find out, right? And I always say if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, it would be Melissa and Steve. There's one tree, huh, God? Boy, that fruit looks good. I'm just glad I wasn't there, because I would have been the one testing the fruit first and giving it to my wife, you know. Here's what I'd say to you. We are blessed that we have the mountaintops and the valleys. They are both gifts to us, because God will walk with us through both. I love what Billy Graham said, and this is quotable because he said it, not me. He said, the views are better from the mountaintops, but fruit is grown in the valleys. The views are better from the mountaintops, but fruit is grown in the valleys. Isn't that true? It's like we all want to have that mountaintop experience. It's like, Lord, I just want my life to be perfect. All my friends and family to love me and think well of me. All the food to taste like it has MSG but doesn't. All the entertainment to be tailored towards my desires and be free. We want all of that. And we don't want the troubles, right? We don't want the pains. We want the perfect relationship without the imperfect spouse. But the problem is then we're the imperfect spouse, right? Because nobody's perfect. In this world, we will have trials. But take heart, He has overcome the world. And if we will lean into Him in the good and the bad, we can find joy in both. Now, what we're looking for, I think, so much in this world today is happiness. I want to be happy. Happiness is different than joy. Let me say that clearly. Happiness is the idea that we're always on a roller coaster going, woo! Right? Joy is the idea is that even when we have to wait in line for the roller coaster, we have the expectation of what's ahead. Does that make sense? So even when I have dark days and troubling days, I can know that tomorrow the sunrise is going to come. I can know that tomorrow there is hope in front of me. I can know that even when I just feel like I can't make it any further, that God has hope around the corner. And that's the joy I can walk of in the dark times, that I know He is with me and He will give me strength and courage. Well, the third thing is God takes what Satan means for evil in the world and uses it for good. This is an awesome picture of what God does. He takes what Satan means for evil and He uses it for good. What is your big hurt in your life? What is your big challenge? Here's what I'd say to you. God can use your greatest failure and defeat or pain and suffering, and He could turn it into the greatest good. I gave the example for those that weren't here last week. I brought out this painting, and this painting's an awesome testimony. It was so cool. A sister in the Lord of ours texted and told us a story that she had lost her mother a couple of years earlier. And this last weekend on Mother's Day, she was missing her mom, and she was saddened. She was saddened because she missed her mom. And as she walked through the yard sale that day in over at the fairgrounds, she saw this painting from a distance, and the sunflower reminded her of her mom, because her mom had made a painting several years back with sunflowers on it, and she had liked it. And she was going to ask her mom for it, but before she did, her mom had sold it, because her mom made painting and sold it, so she didn't get it. And when she saw the painting, she walked upon it and she picked it up and had her mom's initial in the corner. It was her mom's painting. And she was just so overjoyed. She felt like God was just encouraging her. She said, but it gets better. She said, my mom never even lived in Cookeville. My mom lived in Nashville. So somehow that painting was painted in Nashville, sold in Nashville. Years later, it wound up in Cookeville at the fair for a yard sale. Now, that would be pretty awesome if the story ended there, but the reason I brought it back up is about Wednesday I got a text from somebody in the church. They said, Steve, you won't guess what? Let me tell you the rest of the story. I was like, what's that, Bert? He said, I went to work this week and I told my coworker the story about the sunflower painting. He said he comes to church here as well, but he wasn't there last week. He said, are you serious? He said, I know the painting. He said, I was cleaning my garage a couple of weeks ago, and I came across the sunflower painting, and the frame was broken. He said, I started to throw it away, and he said, literally, something inside of me said, fix it and take it to the yard sale. Does that put God bumps on your arms yet? I'm like, go, Jesus, go. And so Bert told him the rest of the story, and he was like, wow, how big is God? Listen. My sister's pain and sadness at the loss of her mom last weekend has gone on to encourage and inspire hundreds of people with that story. And what I want to tell you today is that God wants to use your greatest pains and He wants to turn them into His greatest victories for you and for others. I want you to meet a friend of mine this morning. His name's Jeff Davison. Now, Jeff's been through some of the most trying times of anybody I know. His family, his own life. And yet Jeff is the epitome of optimism. Not because things keep getting better for him. Amen, Jeff?
Amen to that.
We were just down at Vanderbilt a couple of weeks ago. With again, round something.
49 or something.
Yeah, 49. Like, but optimistic because of what Christ continues to do to bring the sunshine out of the darkness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Jeff, can't wait to hear what God's going to say through you, brother.
Thank you, Steve.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for my brother. Oh, Lord, you've done so much and you've used the pain for him to minister to so many people. I pray, God, that we would catch just a nugget of hope that Jeff has to share. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have a friend who likes to call me Job. We'll be out somewhere at a restaurant. He'll introduce me and he'll say, have you met my friend Job? Well, I want to real up front quickly dispel that. I am no Job. Because Job never doubted God. Job stayed steadfast, and I can't say that. I have had so much pain and brokenness and challenges in my life. I have doubted whether God even existed. I have wondered if I have built my whole life on a fairy tale. Does God even hear my prayers? Because sometimes I feel like He doesn't. And where is God? And I have been angry at God, and I have been mad at God. And by the way, if you're ever wondering if you can cuss at God and still live, yeah. That's me in the corner. You see, I had my life planned out. I had all these incredible, amazing plans for my life. And the odd thing was, I liked the plan. You know why I liked it? It was my plan. I knew what I was going to do when I was 25 and 30 and 35. I had certain amounts of income I wanted to make. I wanted to achieve this, this, this in life. I had it all laid out, and I took it to God and said, here's the plan, just stick with me. And he laughed, just like you. Because nothing in my life has gone according to plan. We prayed and we prayed for a healthy baby boy. We committed our child to God in prayer. All we wanted was a healthy baby. And when our son was born, we learned our son has severe cerebral palsy, autism, epilepsy. He's 18 now, and he has never said a word his entire life. And there is a part of my heart that aches to be called dad. There's a part of my heart that yearns to hear, I love you, dad. He's nonverbal. He requires 24/7 intensive care. We have to feed him, bathe him, clothe him. He can't even roll over on his own. We have to do everything for him. People say, you need a vacation. I had one 20 years ago. Our life has been exceptionally hard. When you become the parent of a child with profound special needs, everything in your world is rocked upside down. It affects the way you get up in the morning. It affects your sleep. You don't get any anymore. It affects every aspect of your life. And for me, it put me into a tailspin of bitterness and despair and discouragement. And it caused me to question, why, God? Why have you abandoned me? And I just bet that secretly inside of many of you, you've asked God the same question at some time. Why have you turned your back on me, God? Haven't you? And I used to walk down to this creek by our house, and I would just rail and rage and shake my fist at God and in my anger. And then one night, one holy moment on holy ground, when I was quiet enough for God to get a word in edgewise, in my spirit, I heard, I've given you a blessing. What you do with it's up to you. What? I've given you a blessing. What you do with it's up to you. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. I didn't understand that. But as the weeks went on and they turned into months and the months turned into years, I saw what God was doing. See, I never understood unconditional love until I became the father of a child with special needs. I never understood grace. I never really knew what it meant to be dependent upon somebody until I had this son who's dependent upon me. And all of a sudden I realized what God was doing was God was taking the essence of the gospel and God was putting that in my house. And that little man in those Superman pajamas down the hall was the embodiment of my relationship to God. Because you see, my son will never... There's nothing he can ever achieve. There's nothing he can ever do. There's nothing he can ever accomplish. There's nothing that is ever going to make me love him more than I already do. Because he's my boy. And if the only thing in life that he is my son, then well done. That's all that matters. And God used that to teach me that, hey, Jeff, that's exactly how I feel about you. You keep trying to prove yourself to me. You keep trying to work your way closer to me. You keep trying to show me, Jeff, you're my boy. I love you the way you are. I love you too much to leave you that way. But there's nothing you can do to make me love you more. And over time, I began to realize I'd been given a gift. I'm just the gift keeper. My son is a gift, and he's not just a gift to me. He's a gift to the world. Because of his life and because of his motivation through him, there are people across the world, special needs families across the world, who are finding hope and encouragement in the love of God because of that little boy who's never said a word in all his life. It reminds me of that quote of St. Francis, said, "Preach the gospel every day. If necessary, use words." He doesn't use words. He is my most treasured gift. See, God sent a broken child to a broken father so that together we could find God in the brokenness. I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to heal my son. I begged him to heal my son, and then I realized what God was doing. God was using my son to heal me. I've been given a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece of God's handiwork. God only creates masterpieces. And then I said, you know what? I feel called to help special needs families. And I went to the Global Leadership Summit, like the one we're hosting here in August. You've got to come to that. It'll change your life. I went to the Global Leadership Summit, and Pastor Bill Hybels told a story. And he said, I was in Africa, and I was at this food distribution center. And he said, the director took me aside, and he pointed to this lady from a nearby village. And he said, Bill, she walks 5 miles through the jungle one way to get a bag of this maize product. It'll feed her family for one day. And she walks 5 miles back. He said, without what you do, people will die. And I was driving home, and I could not get that story out of my mind. And I'm thinking, special needs families, these are my people. And my people are dying. Relationally, emotionally, spiritually, my people are dying. And as I'm prone to do, I got mad at God, and I said, don't you care? I said, these are your sheep. Somebody needs to feed your sheep. God, won't you at least acknowledge that special needs families belong to you too? They are your sheep, God. Somebody needs to feed your sheep. And God said, feed them. You feed my sheep. And I'm like, no, I'm the complaint department. I'm good in customer service, but that's a whole different department. I'll connect you if you want, but feed my sheep. And at the time, that sounded so strange, but when I read the Bible, that's the way Jesus was. Remember when they're feeding the multitude, all those thousands of people, and they go, they're hungry, there's no food. And Jesus says, feed them. Because when Jesus is about to do something miraculous in your life, he expects you to take that first step. The blessing always follows the breaking. There cannot be breaking without blessing. And so I started Rising Above to reach special needs families. And it's fueled by this holy discontent that says special needs families have a place in God's kingdom. They have a place in the church. They belong. There's a place for them here. And it's all because of that little boy. I wouldn't be a disability minister if it weren't for that young man and the gift that he is. And then something strange happened. From the minute I got into ministry, I started having health issue after health issue after health issue. I've had 10 surgeries in the last 5 years. 6 years ago, I spent a week in a coma on life support. They told my wife, if he comes out of it, he'll be on oxygen the rest of his life. Now, I could walk by sight and believe that, or I could walk by faith in the God who says, I put the breath in his lungs. That's my air he's breathing. I came home from the hospital without oxygen. Last year, I went in the hospital for a foot infection. And all of a sudden, this room full of doctors came in. That's never a good sign, by the way, at Vanderbilt when the entire faculty shows up. And the attending said, how long have you been in renal failure? Your kidneys have shut down. And I said, about 6 seconds. And she said, you're going to have a kidney transplant. Your kidneys are done. Every night in my bedroom, I have to hook up to a dialysis machine for 9 hours. And I lay in the bed for 9 hours and it cleans the toxins out of my body because my kidneys no longer work. I have end-stage renal disease. Last summer, in the middle of a session, I crashed. My heart stopped beating. When someone's heart stops beating, brain damage begins to occur between 4 minutes and 6 minutes. The brain cells will die between 4 and 6 minutes, and it's irreversible. They did chest compressions on me for 7 minutes. It just so happened that the top crash team at Vanderbilt was walking by my room on their way to a meeting when I crashed. Just so happened. Or you could say the two most powerful words, but God. I love what Christine Kane says. She says, Satan on his best day couldn't take me out on my worst day. Here's what I've learned. If you want God to use you greatly, you have to allow him to wound you deeply. Those that God will use greatly have first been wounded deeply. So you and I have been taught all our life that unless we have a strength in this area, that God can't use us. And God wants you to know that very thing that has broken you, that very thing that's causing you the pain, that very thing in your life where you are hurt, where you're wounded, where you just can't let it go. God's saying, put it in my hand. Watch what I do when you put it in my hand. Watch what I do. And I have struggled to believe that. I'll be honest with you. I have struggled with that. With all of my health things going on, I had a breakdown a few months ago. I did. In the middle of the night. I turned to my wife and I asked why God was trying to kill me. That angel I married said, honey, if God wanted you dead, he's had plenty of opportunities. God's not trying to kill you. But I struggled. Oh, how I struggled with it. I was ready to quit ministry. I was ready to quit because I didn't think I could do it anymore. I'm always in a wheelchair. I'm on dialysis. I can't do this anymore. And it was like I heard God saying, let me get this straight. I called you to disability ministry, and you're worried about a disability. Shut up. Because I was called by God to do this. And the only reason I'm able to do it is through him. I was confessing to Steve earlier, because of some of the things I have going on, I haven't slept in 48 hours. I don't have any notes to share with you. I just have to trust God's going to say what God wants to say through me. It's his words, my mouth. And here's what God wants you to know and understand. I love the verse, Romans 8:28. I love the verse. In the real language, it says something like, for we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Can I quote you that verse from the Jeff International Version? Would you allow me that indulgence? Let me show you what that verse means to me. If it isn't good, then God's not done. Some of you in your life right now, you go, there's nothing good going on. Okay, that just means God's not done. God's not done. If it isn't good, God's not done. Most of the things going on in my life right now are not good. But God's not done. Every time I have gone through a significant period of pain and challenge, God has expanded my ability to reach my people. Our strength is nothing. His strength is everything. It's everything. The breaking always comes with the blessing. So here's the thing. I know a lot of you, I can't imagine what you're going through. I don't know your story, but I know this. I know everyone in here has a story. And everyone in here has been hurt. And everyone in here has been wounded. And everyone in here has something in your past that keeps dragging you down. And you feel like it disqualifies you from God using you. What you have in your past, those hurts, those wounds, what you're walking through right now, may be the very thing that God wants to use to change the world. It's your choice. But you've got to put it in His hand. When they brought the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, nothing happened till they put it in Jesus' hand. We're going to be singing in just a minute, and we're going to do something that may make you a little uncomfortable. But don't not do it because of fear. Listen to me. I know what it's like to be in a broken and bare and dry desert. And I know where the fruit is. And sometimes the only way to get to the fruit is to cross that desert. And as we sing and as we worship, I'm begging you this morning, whatever it is, come up here and lay it down to God. Put it in God's hand. Imagine coming down here. Imagine God's outstretched hands, and you take what's dragging you down. You take your brokenness. And you put it in His hand. And watch what He'll do. We're all wounded. We're all hurting. And we come here in the mornings and we have our smiles on. How are you? Good. I've told 100 people this morning, I'm good. I'm great. I didn't sleep last night. I'm not good and great. I'm tired and cranky. All at once, an Arby's roast beef sandwich in my recliner. God is good all the time. All the time. If it isn't good in your life, then God's not done. So my pastor Steve is going to come up. He's going to extend a unique opportunity to you. Please, I'm begging you, you will not find victory until you surrender. You will not find victory until you surrender, till you lay it at the foot of the cross. My prayer these days, I pray for healing. I do. I pray for healing every night. But you know what else I pray? I pray, God, if this is the cross that You have called me to bear, then let me be worthy. Let me be worthy of the cross You call me to bear. And God, I will suffer well. I will run the race. And I will finish strong. And I don't know when that is, or what that'll look like. But I will run the race that You've put before me. Just make me worthy of the cross that You've called me to bear. Thanks for letting me be real this morning.
Here's what I'd say to you. Some of you may be here and you're like me. You're almost perfectly healthy. A little sore here. A little bit of arthritis there. But you've never been through anything like that. Others of you are going, that's all you got? That's all you've been through? Let me tell you what I've been through. But here's what I know. Mountaintop and valley. All of us experience both. And I believe there are people here today that you need to come and take that pain and you need to come leave it before God. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We've got men and women that are ready to pray with you if you'd like that. I want to invite you to come forward today. Jeff's going to be down front in just a minute. I'm going to be down front. If you want somebody to talk with you, we'll be up here and you can come talk with us. The band's going to play and lead us in a song. You can sing the song of worship. But let me just say, there's something powerful about coming before the Lord and just kneeling and giving it up to Him. So we've got these prayer rugs we've set up here to make as an altar before God. And we invite you today to experience the supernatural. And we're not a church that tells you if you follow Jesus that everything's going to be perfect. That just doesn't work in our theology. Because we still live in this world. But we will tell you this. In all of your difficulties, in all of your problems, you can follow a perfect God. Who will love you unconditionally. Not because of what you can do for Him, but because you're His child.